Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Oh, well, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Scaling Wellness podcast. I am Caroline Kopp. Great to have you here. And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I thought we would do something a little bit fun and talk about the things that, I'm going to come to that actually. If you followed me for any length of time, you will know that there are certain hills that I will die on. Things that you could affectionately say I bang on about over and over again. Now, none of this is because they're trends or because they are trending, but because after 22 years in wellness, in the wellness industry, and a good chunk online, I have seen what works, and I see every day what works. So today, what I wanted to do is do something a little bit different, and some of these things might actually lose me your attention. They might lose me the potential of us working together. But what I want to talk about are things that I will never do if we are working together. Now, it's a bit of a weird topic, right? Like the things that I will never do. But I think it's really important that you understand and that I use this podcast as an opportunity to share more information about how we can actually work together. Because I think sometimes you've heard enough of the theory and sometimes you just want to get a bit more granular into like, what might this actually look like for you? What might working with me actually give you, bring you, do for you? What's the point? You know, why do you need me? And so I'm going to use today's episode to kind of talk around the things that I don't do and that I will not do. And again, it will be some hills that I die on, things that you don't need me to do. And I'm going to share a few of those today. So bear with me, slightly different, but I hope this is really useful because actually, I think what else it will give you is not just an idea of whether or not you want to work with me, because in all brutal honesty, I am limited on my numbers. There's only so many people I can help. Certainly, everybody that listens to this podcast is not going to be an ideal client for me. And also, I can't help all of you. So it's not that. But what it might do is give you a bit of an idea of what you are looking for potentially in a coach, or what you're looking for in a group, you know, in group, like what support maybe you do need, even if it's not from me. So the first thing I will never tell you to do is post more on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. You can, you know, go wherever you like. Now, if you listen to last week's episode, you're going to think, well, that's a big contradiction because last week she was talking about visibility. Well, the reason I'm saying you don't need to post more on Instagram is because I don't believe in posting more for the sake of more. More does never mean more. And that means more time, more effort, more energy, more push, more money, more posting. More doesn't always mean more. Visibility absolutely matters. Showing up, being present, showcasing what you do and who you are matters. But random visibility for the sake of it does not matter. So posting more for the sake of posting more to please an algorithm actually doesn't really work. In my experience, there are a very small percentage of people that I work with that go viral. And then they need to start, you know, continue to feed the beast. So that's one side of things. But most people I work with don't have that experience. And so showing up and being on Instagram more just for the sake of it is a bit pointless. What we actually need is a strategy behind how we are showing up. Strategy will beat volume every time. I don't need you to become an influencer in your space. I would rather you created one brilliant, helpful, impactful piece of content that moves someone forwards, that they save for future use, that they would pay for if they needed to, than 7 reels a week to keep you busy. Okay. A rule of thumb that someone said to me recently was, would someone pay £5 for this information or for this knowledge or for this strategy? And sometimes I think it's worth looking at it through that lens. Now, not always, because I do really believe that actually showing yourself on social media isn't necessarily something people will pay for, but it has a really huge impact, particularly on your engagement. So that's not always the kind of lever that I or the benchmark that I put things against. But what I would say is that one incredible email over five incredible emails is, or five average emails, sorry, is way more impactful and will save you time. For me, in social media, more is not more. The next thing is, I will never tell you that you need a huge audience. I will never tell you to go out and spend ads on growing your audience. Now, again, you will question this because you'll think, well, I need people to buy from me and I have to have an audience in order to make that happen. But numbers, generally speaking, in an audience perspective, are vanity metrics. Clients I work with have tiny email lists and have sellout launches. Other clients I work with have huge email lists and can't sell anything. The detail here is that we're looking for the right people, not the wrong people. We're looking for the perfect 20, not the wrong 20,000. So growing your audience is impactful and can be really useful, but only if it's with the right people. Now, an example of this is that I spent thousands, and I don't even want to tell you how many thousands, on Meta ads when I first had my membership. Because I knew what everyone was saying was, you've got to build your list. You've got to build your list. You need a big email list. You've got to get numbers on there. But what I didn't know was, I didn't have a clear audience in mind. So I didn't know my niche clearly enough. And I therefore was attracting in a huge number of people at really cheap prices. They were cheap leads, but they weren't converting. So that was a vanity metric. Thousands of people coming in, but none of them were buying for me. So I don't need you to grow your audience. I need you to build your audience with the right people. So there's a caveat to that one. I will never tell you to create a course because you should have a passive income. The truth of this industry is that that doesn't exist. There is no passive income. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday who talked to me about somebody she knew who had a £7 product and 2,000 members, and that was all she did. And the problem with this is that none of that is passive. What you see is the top line. Oh my goodness, £7 times 2,000. She's making a fortune every single month. She just needs 2,000 people. So what we're not seeing is the underbelly of this success. You know, you picture that image that everyone's seen of the iceberg. You know, you see the top bit above the water, but you don't see the mountain below. So what we haven't seen in that example is how she's growing her audience, how she's converting people, what she's spending on running that business. What we're not seeing is all of the other stuff that make it not passive. Building a digital business in the wellness space is not passive. Don't come to me asking for passive income, because I cannot give you that. And so if that's what you're looking for, there are plenty of clickbaity coaches out there that will promise that. I cannot promise that, because it hasn't been passive for me. It's not been passive for my clients. I don't believe it is passive. And actually, I would go as far as to say that for my self-esteem and my self-worth, I don't really want it to be passive. I quite like earning my stripes. I quite like working for what I have. And I feel like the idea that this is going to be an easy option is too quickly banded around. Your expertise is important. That's one layer of it. But you will have to learn a new business style. And so that's never going to be passive. Now, long term, there is always the opportunity to grow this to a point where you can step out of it. You can have a team. there is a potential for passive income. And of course, with an online product, you can earn, you know, get clients whilst you're on the beach. You can have sales coming in while you're asleep in bed. But just because they're happening without you actually being physically present, that doesn't mean it's a passive sale. Okay, so I'll never tell you to create something passive. I will never tell you to wait until the perfect time. And I hear this a lot. I had an email this morning actually from someone saying, I'm overwhelmed with other things at the moment, so I will be back in touch when life is quieter. And I thought, okay, I'll see you never. Good luck with that, because I'd love to get to that point. Timing is everything, and it has to feel right for you. And I will never push you into doing anything at the wrong time. But waiting for the perfect time, I mean, that is cray cray. That is not coming. I never forget my granddad saying to me when I first got pregnant with my eldest daughter, and I was, you know, a little bit nervous about expense and, you know, how we were going to do this and juggle it. And I remember him saying, you'll never be able to afford it. You'll never feel ready. It's just, do you want it or don't you want it? And if you do want it, let's just go for it. Don't wait to feel ready. Don't wait for timing to be perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. It really doesn't. And your founder members don't care that it's perfect. They don't care that you have the perfect website or branding or about me page or tech setup or logo. God, they don't care about the logo. Please, can we stop worrying about the logo, guys? The other thing they don't care about is the name. I did an entire 18 months, five-figure investment mastermind, and I didn't know what it was called. I still don't know what it was called. I never knew. I just invested in person. I didn't care what it was called. So stop worrying about the perfect name, the perfect Instagram handle. The perfect doesn't exist. Your buttons on your website, it doesn't matter if they're square or round. Your founder members are here because they want an outcome. They want a transformation. Stop waiting for your life to be perfect or your setup to be perfect, because it's a movable feast. You will be chasing perfection forever. So I'm not going to tell you to wait till the time is perfect, but I am going to tell you to wait until the time is right for you, when it feels doable. But remember that often seeking the perfect timing is a way of you bringing your perfectionist instincts into the equation. And actually, you know, feeling ready, feeling like you've got enough time, feeling like you can afford it, you know, they're all things that actually, sometimes feeling the pinch is actually how we take action. Having things imperfect, you know, not having enough time means you carve out time. Not having enough money means you find the money. Now, I'm never saying take out a credit card, remortgage your house, any of those things. But it might be that you cut back on something to make the money. It might be that you have a conversation with someone to find the money. It might be that you feel comfortable to reduce something else to fund it. So perfection is a movable feast. Try and avoid waiting for life to be perfect. I will never tell you to look at what other people are doing. Because what other people are doing, firstly, I guess the most important thing about this is we don't know if it's working, right? So very, very practically speaking, there's no point in looking at someone else's business, because you do not know if that is effective, if it's making any money, if it's making any profit, if they are happy, if their clients like them. It might be a business that's making loads of money, but they get loads of refund requests. Or it might be making loads of money, but the clients are never happy or satisfied. That, you know, we cannot create based on what other people are doing. So I don't want you to look at other people's businesses. In fact, you know, a bit of market research is useful, but so often when people do market research, they get overwhelmed by what's already out there that already looks really slick and really professional and like 50 steps ahead of where they are. And that can actually stop you in your tracks and make you not feel good enough, get that imposter syndrome and kind of keep you stuck. So I would say, rather than looking at what other people are doing in the industry, I would start looking at what people need in the industry. What do your clients need help with? Where do they need support? What are they already doing that isn't working? And that's where I would be looking around, but I wouldn't be looking at other people's businesses, because they have different lifestyles, different audiences, different goals. You need your business, not their business. And I've learned over the years that creating a business that you actually want and that lights you up really beats trying to build a business that is copying what someone else is doing, because it will not necessarily satisfy you. It might feel like a meal ticket, like a quick route in, but it won't satisfy you because you'll always feel on the back foot. I will never pretend that mindset doesn't matter, because it does. People come to me for strategy, and I am like 90% strategy. But strategy only works if you are able to implement it. What I see often from a mindset perspective is fear. Fear around showing up, fear around choosing, fear around charging. And it shows up as, oh, I'm too busy, or I didn't get chance, or, you know, I haven't got time, I haven't got the money. You know, fear and overwhelm, or fear coming through as overwhelm, is really, really common. And I will never pretend that mindset doesn't matter. Now, I'm certainly no expert on mindset, but I have had a huge amount of mindset coaching myself. And what I do understand to be true is that sometimes taking action, for me, is the only way to beat the mindset. Sometimes, you know, there's that phrase, take the leap and wait for the net to appear. That's kind of my ethos. I'm about, let's jump in, let's have a go, and let's see what happens. And sometimes just doing the thing is the only way to beat the mindset. Because what I know from working with NLP experts and subconscious experts is that actually the thing that you're not doing, the thing that you're avoiding, the thing you're procrastinating on, is usually your subconscious keeping you safe. And we come up with all sorts of reasons for that. You know, who will want it? Who am I to do this? No one will buy it. I can't do it. I haven't got time. Those are your practical reasons, but really they're just opinions, and opinions are not truths. So those opinions will keep you still. They're your subconscious, like your, imagine your devil and your angel. It's the devil on your shoulder telling you one thing and the angel telling you something else. It's up to you to choose which one you listen to. So when you feel stuck, or when you feel fear, when you feel overwhelmed, consider what it actually might be. What's underneath? What's the underneath emotion that's keeping you stuck? And sometimes action is what will move you forwards out of that fear, out of that overwhelm, out of that emotion. So mindset does matter, but for me, action matters more. I will never leave you to figure it out alone. This is the biggest part of this, is that the reason I do what I do is to help the people like you. Oh, that's a little rhyme there for you. You can remember that and recite that. The reason I do what I do is to help people like you. That would be great for wellness as well. Take it and use it. The reason why I built the Scaling Wellness Accelerator is because I can see and have been the person that is very good at doing the doing. I'm really good at getting on with stuff, taking action, moving the needle. But I'm actually also very good at just staying busy. And not everything I do, even now, moves the needle. I'm very good at having stuff to do. And so what I see happening with my clients often is they're doing stuff, they're doing the things that feel comfortable, but they're not necessarily doing the things that are uncomfortable that will actually create more momentum for them. And so when I built the accelerator, I built it with that in mind, that I can give you all the strategy. And we do that. We go through strategy. We have portals, we have trainings, we have live Q&As, we have sessions where we go through strategy. But what is more important is feedback, is accountability, is someone recognizing you and seeing you. Yesterday we had on the call a lady who has done a founder launch, got to the waitlist phase, and didn't have enough people signing up to launch her program. And so, of course, that's, you know, the reason why we do that process is to catch it before we get it out for sale, or before we build it, or before we start creating loads of content for something that people don't want. So it's a strategy. It's part of the process, and it's very normal that that happens. And what we need to do at that point is go away, recalibrate, think about what might not have worked, look at it again, through a different lens. I need to get eyes on it. We need to talk about it, talk it through. And usually what happens through that process is that they'll say things like, you know, I've realized actually it's not really the type of person I want to work with, or actually it's not really the right product for me, or, you know, maybe I don't have enough of those people in my audience. Like, we usually come to a pretty clear reason why that's happened, and we're able to move it forwards. But so this person was on the call yesterday, and that exact situation had happened to her. And she'd kind of disappeared for a couple of weeks, and then she'd come back into a office hours, which is where people submit their work to me and I look through it and give feedback. And she'd submitted a new offer framework, which is how we create offers inside the program. And it was a different niche, it was a different audience. And actually what she said was, it feels far more aligned. And so when she came on the call and we were going through her next steps, I wanted to take a moment with her to just acknowledge that process and congratulate her for that. Because at that point, it's very easy for your brain to get in and start telling you, you're not good enough. This will never happen for you. It's never going to work. Who were you to even think this was possible? One knockback can be the final blow. The reason why the accelerator is so impactful is because we don't allow that knockback to be the final blow. Instead, we celebrate what has happened. We use it as data. We dust ourselves off and we go again. Whereas when people work on their own, they don't. They lose interest, they disappear, they turn off their social media, they stop posting, they give up. And so I wanted to congratulate this particular person on that, because it's really hard to do that. It's really hard to go away, acknowledge that it's not worked, and pull yourself together and go again. And she had done it. And she'd done it quickly. She'd done it fast. And what I said to her in that moment is, because you've done that, I know this will work for you, because what I need from you is exactly what you've just done. The only way this process works is if you are willing to take the knockbacks, to take the things that go wrong, and to iterate and use it as data and pivot and move forwards anyway. And that's what she had been able to do. And that's how I know, from looking at her from outside in, that this is absolutely going to work for her. Because she is willing to do the work, to figure it out, and to get stuck in anyway, even if it doesn't feel easy. And I know that to be true, because that's absolutely what's happened to me over the years. I've had so many failed products, or what I've deemed as failures. You know, I call them failed products. Actually, I should call them learnings, because that's really what they are. But I've had so many times where no one's turned up to a webinar. I've had so many times where I've opened the cart and no one's bought. I've had so many times where I haven't had the result that I wanted. And what it really comes down to is, okay, so no one's coming to save me. We go again. So that is the final part of this, is that I will never leave you to figure it out alone. The feedback, the accountability, the support, the momentum is how I work with people. I'm not going to just give you the stuff and expect you to work it out yourself, because those moments where things aren't quite right or don't go quite so well, those are the moments where this group is really impactful. Those are the moments I need you to show up. Those are the moments where I will show up for you. So I'm not at all interested in helping you build the biggest business on Instagram. I'm really interested in helping you to build a business that gives you the life that you want first. And that looks like more freedom, more impact, more income without working every evening or feeling like you're constantly chasing an algorithm. So if those things resonated with you today, I'd love to hear which one, you know, maybe surprised you most or that you appreciated the most. Drop me a message on Instagram. I can happily DM you a little voice note and we can have a chat. Or if you are at the point where you are ready to take a next step and you want to look into this for the autumn, then drop me a message or book a call on the link in the show notes, because I think now is a really great time to be starting to think about this for a September start, because September, this is where the wellness magic happens. Let's get going. Let's get this thing out. Let's get started. And I really look forward to hearing from you. I can't wait to hopefully work with you, and let me know if you have any questions. I'll see you next time. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp. and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.